First reading is from Micah 7, verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. The second reading is from 1 John 4, verse 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Dear God, thank you that you are the light in the darkness. Thank you that when you die, you rise again. Thank you that you are with us in these difficult times. Please help Tim as he preaches us today. And please may this be a good service. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Amy and Jonah. And welcome everyone to the Holland Road live stream. I wonder, do you know what the very first words ever spoken in the world were? They're some of the most life-giving words you could ever hear. Let me take you to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 3. God said, "Let there be light." And guess what happened? Those words had such extraordinary power that they took a world that was formless and empty and cause life to burst forth with colour and beauty and hope. You see, when God speaks light, it changes everything. And that's what we're going to explore in this new Advent series, the power of God's light, how his light helps us out of darkness when we feel like we're trapped, how God's light can bring direction for each day when we feel lost, how the church can fulfill its amazing calling to be the light of the world in a city that is known for darkness, and how we can have the hope of never walking in darkness again. You know, our prayer is that in this series, we would experience the power of God's light coming into our lives and then through us into the lives of those around us. But we begin in the dark. You know, the prophet Micah writes in chapter 7, verse 8, "Though I sit in darkness." Maybe right now you feel like that describes you, sitting in darkness, even trapped in darkness. You know, when I started writing this on Wednesday morning, it was one of those days when it just never seemed to get light. It was so gloomy. You know, and many of us are experiencing days like that at the moment, not just from the weather, days when it kind of never seems to get light, days that seem absent of joy and hope. You know, these are dark days. You know, many are dealing with the darkness of loneliness in lockdown and the prospect of that continuing under tier 2 restrictions for us here in Brighton and Hove. You know, some are facing the challenge of fear that comes from illness or of fear of the unknown. Some have experienced the agony of bereavement. You know, Meghan Markle was sharing this week about her miscarriage. You know, many are suffering with poor mental health. Others are facing the deep darkness of financial debt. And I know that many are just finding life and work and family hard in these days. I was talking to two of our teachers earlier this week, and they were just saying how work is harder than ever. It's just so draining. Perhaps that's you right now, feeling drained, feeling low, depressed, even, you know, just missing your friends. You know, missing the things you used to be able to do, missing being able to gather at church and sing together. How we miss that, don't we? How do you get light into these dark days? Well, this morning we're going to explore why darkness comes. You know, how even God's people can find themselves trapped and sitting in darkness, but also how light can come and not just kind of brighten your day, but completely transform it. The prophet Micah begins verse 1 with the words, if you look back in the chapter, "Oh, what misery is mine." He seems to be in real despair. And yet at the end of this chapter, he is declaring his confidence in God. How does that happen? Well, he begins by doing something absolutely vital. And that's firstly, he acknowledges that the darkness is real. You know, if you want to get through the darkness, you first have to acknowledge that it's there, that it's real. This is like the first step on any recovery program. You know, I admit I have a problem. But that's not an easy thing to do. You know, Micah the prophet, speaking on the behalf of the people of God, admits something very uncomfortable. He says, chapter 7, verse 8, I have fallen. He says, I sit in darkness. You know, the image that Micah is drawing here is one of a prison cell without light. It is really bleak. Now, of course, there is hope coming. But the picture of darkness is profound. This is not the sort of thing we tend to admit to one another, is it, after church? You know, how are you? Well, I've fallen and I'm in darkness. No, I'm fine. I'm always just fine. But the people of God were not fine. You see, the prophet Micah's writing at a difficult time for them. There's a lot of darkness. You might have noticed that it's often a very difficult time for the people of God. And that's because so often they and we wander away. I wonder if you notice that in your own life. I do. I often think of the words of the old hymn, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We kind of have this wandering tendency. Maybe that's you at the moment. Kind of you feel yourself drifting away. At the time of Micah, early in the 8th century BC, the people had wandered far. You know, it was the time of King Ahaz. You might remember he wasn't a good one. And God's people were getting all kinds of things wrong. Chapter 6, verse 11, the poor were being neglected. You know, they too probably would have cut the foreign aid budget to the poorest of the poor, like sadly our government did this week. Chapter 7, verse 3, the rich were abusing their power. There was injustice in the courts. You know, chapter 7, verse 6, the family unit was breaking down. The people were just starting to live like all the other nations around them. And rather than trusting in God, they were just seeking to stand in their own strength as a military power. They were in trouble. But Micah was actually just one of the very few people who was prepared to acknowledge it and call it out. There were many other prophets saying, look, everything's fine. Doesn't matter how you live. God will just keep blessing you. There'll be no consequences, no judgment. You know, even as they were being attacked and overthrown, there was denial of the darkness. You know, we see denial of problems and darkness all over the place, all over our world. People denying things like the reality of climate change, or people denying COVID. I saw a tragic interview of a pastor's spouse saying how they thought it was all a hoax and they ignored the warnings and they both caught it. And sadly, the pastor died. It's an awful story. Denial is really dangerous, but it's unfortunately a common thing. We even do this with our own health. You know, we develop a problem, perhaps a lump or unexplained symptom, but instead of getting it checked out, we ignore it and we don't get the treatment that could have helped us. Denial. It happens in marriage and a creeping separateness that no one dares to address. It happens with debt. Bills get kind of stuffed in the drawer, unopened, and the darkness grows. We don't acknowledge the darkness. Why? Why don't we do that? Even when it's so obviously there. Well, I think it's because we're afraid. Like that video that the Lurcocks put together. We're afraid of the dark. We're afraid if we go to the doctor and that we will get bad news. We're afraid that whatever issue it is, whether it's something from climate change to a marriage, we fear, we admit there's a problem, that it will be too big to deal with. Too big to fix. Because here's the issue with darkness. If you dare to really look at it, you discover it's not kind of just a problem out there. with others. You discover it's a problem deep in here in our own hearts. And this is the hardest darkness to acknowledge, like Micah does here when he says, I sit in darkness. I have fallen. You know, we're afraid that that sort of darkness is just going to be too big to deal with. So we pretend the darkness isn't there. We don't acknowledge the darkness because of this second thing, that we haven't yet realized how powerful the light is. We need to remember that the light is coming. Remember, the light is coming. Micah acknowledges that things are far worse than anyone would dare to admit. He foresees the complete collapse of the kingdom. He prophesies the coming takeover by the Assyrians. Things could not look worse. And yet he says, chapter 7, verse 8, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Micah warns his enemies who are gloating over what looks like a failed religion, a failed people, those who think God's people are down and out. He warns them basically, don't call the result at halftime. Don't announce the score before the final whistle. You know, things might be bad. Things might actually be worse than anyone ever imagined, but that is not how they're going to stay. There is still hope. Maybe you need to hear that this morning, those words. There is still hope. You know, one of the most memorable sporting occasions I've ever been at was a World Cup rugby match held at the Amex Stadium in 2015 between South Africa and Japan. We were there as a family. There's a film being made about that match called The Miracle of Brighton. Yeah, to be honest, I was a bit disappointed that this was the match we were seeing because everyone knew Japan would be thrashed. You know, in 1995, they lost 145-17 against the All Blacks. And all the way through the match, though Japan fought hard and they did well, they were always kind of behind and then just kind of catching up. They were outmatched in strength. The size difference between the players was just remarkable. But somehow they stay in touching distance until the 80th and last minute, where they have one last play and they lay siege to the South Africa try line for 3 minutes. And they could have taken penalty points and settled for a draw on two occasions, but they just keep going. And then it happened. A pass, another pass, another pass, and they score a last gasp try to put them ahead, to make them the winners. And the stadium just, I mean, erupted. It was extraordinary. It's one of the greatest sporting upsets ever. No one called that result, even in the 80th minute. And that's just a game of sport. That's just what people can do. This morning, we are looking at what God can do. And I want to declare this morning what Micah declared, that there is no darkness too big for God, no problem too great for him to solve, no sin too big for him to deal with, no situation that God cannot turn around and bring light into. He is the God who says, let there be light, and there was light. Why? Why does Micah have so much confidence? Why does he say, look, in verse 7, the previous verse, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Saviour. My God will hear me. Well, it's not because he thinks that eventually God's people will sort themselves out, get a better coach like Japan, and then get it right. No, it's because he looks ahead. He looks ahead 700 years to the greatest turnaround the world will ever see. He looks ahead to a king who is coming. He recognises he is in Advent, that time of waiting. And he says in Micah 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, he looks to Bethlehem, the place of the birth of Christ. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned to the time when she who is in labour gives birth and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And listen to this, they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth and he will be their peace. Beautiful picture of the coming of Christ. Micah's confidence is because he knows Jesus is coming. He looks ahead and he sees this king that we read about in John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. The one who spoke life, life and light. In him was life, verse 4, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. You know, the one who spoke life and light into existence was coming. The one who holds life was coming. And amazingly, he has now come. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas time. And the darkness cannot, has not, and will not overcome it. You know, the reason Christians going to be the most hopeful people, even as they acknowledge the depth of the brokenness and darkness around them and within them, is because of this light. This one who is light does something unthinkable. You see, he enters our darkness. That's what's happening at the cross. You know, at the cross, we see darkness doing its worst. We see literally all hell breaking loose. All the powers of darkness are arrayed against Christ, the Holy One, as he faces betrayal and rejection, abuse and injustice. So much darkness that the whole land goes dark for 3 hours in the middle of the day. And then the unthinkable. You know, Jesus, the one who spoke light, has his own light, his own life, extinguish. And at first it all just looks lost. Just like today, you might even feel a bit like that. You feel like all is lost. But that's not the end of the story. 3 days later, the sun rises, the dawn breaks, the darkness vanishes as the light shines and the Son of God is risen with healing in his wings. Resurrection happens, new creation happens, hope is born. And this power of light, of resurrection, life and hope is available for us today. It's not just that light is coming, the light has come. It's not something you just receive once and you forget about. There is light for every day. There is mercy that is new every morning. Perhaps you're thinking, I'm too lost. There's too much darkness. You know, one of the psalmists felt like that. In Psalm 139, verse 11, he says, look, well, surely the darkness is just going to hide me. And God says, no, even the darkness will become as light to God. You see, God is the one who loves to bring light. God does allow us to go through darkness, but he does not leave us there. The light is coming. He's working his plans and purposes out. They're plans that don't rest on our ability to perform, our ability to sort everything out, even our ability to get things right, but on our willingness to do what Micah did, to acknowledge our need, our willingness to get real with God. You know, Micah 7:18 says this, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. God delights to show mercy. This is the good news story that we're going to be sharing this Christmas. We're going to be lighting up our windows all across the city with this message. You know, we're going to be doing prayer walks around our city. We might even be allowed to do carol singing. We're going to be asking for God's light to come. And we're going to invite our city to come and hear this good news. But first we have to receive it. Now, I wonder, have you lost sight of the light? Do you need fresh hope this morning? Not just that the light is coming, but the light has come. that Jesus has come and wants to breathe hope into your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray for the areas of our hearts where there is darkness. Just get real before the Lord right now. Just bring your darkness to the Lord. Might be things that you've not been able to tell anyone, things you just need to bring before God. Lord, we ask you, shine your light into our darkness, into our hearts. Lord, for the situations around us where there is darkness, we might just want to bring something, someone to the Lord. Lord, for those people, for those situations, Lord, we pray, shine your light. You said, Lord, let there be light. And there was light. Lord, you say those words over us and those things we're praying for right now. Let there be light and there will be light. For we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.